The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. I'm David. He is Isaac. And how about that freaking ending to that game, man? I was so pumped.
Yeah, still man. Man, big time win for the Grizzlies tonight. And I think what really makes it big is we talked about here on the podcast that we did before the show and earlier this week that you wanted to win one of these two games in Portland. And I think it's big to get this first one because now that kind of takes the edge off a little bit. And you can go in Sunday a lot more relaxed, man, and thinking that you could take two of these. You don't have to go in tight thinking, well, we lost the first one, man. We got to try to get this one. So, because sometimes when you have that mentality, you go in the game kind of tight and that can cause you not to play as well. I think now they can go in loose and say, man, we could walk out of here with two wins. And just a big-time win, big-time performance by all these guys. And again, this game did not disappoint. I talked about how much I love these games against these two teams. And another classic tonight, just a big-time game. A big-time game from John Morant, big-time game from DB on both ends of the floor, man. And I loved it. I loved it, man, the way they were getting up and down the floor. It was just a high-level basketball game. Felt like playoff atmosphere. These teams knew what was on the line, man. They both came out and performed. And, man, glad to see the Grizzlies were able to sneak out of there with one.
Man, in the words of one of my favorite announcers ever, Jim Ross from the WWE, this was a slobber knocker. Man. It felt like an actual, like a heavyweight fight, just back and forth. That, you know, I think it, I've got it up here. Let me pull it. There were 20 lead changes in this game. I knew that there was quite a few. It was just a ton in the late in the fourth where, you know, the Grizzlies would go down and get a bucket. Portland goes down the other end and gets a bucket.
Back and forth.
And it was great to watch. Jaren Jackson ramped up. He played almost 25 minutes tonight. 23 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. You know, it just the threes are not falling right now, but they'll come. And he was doing work down low. You know, when he was catching the ball back to the basket, it was going in. They weren't stopping it. They had nothing for him. You know, 10 for 14 from the field. Just great night. It's so good to see him back. I tweeted during the game, and I'm like, Jaren's missed the majority of the season, but Ja and Jaren's chemistry hasn't missed a beat, man.
Not at all.
I thought that there would be maybe a little bit, but these first two games, it doesn't seem like they've missed anything. It's like he's not even missed a game at all.
No, outside of his three-point shot not falling, I mean, 0-2 tonight, only took 2. He looks like Jaren. I mean, and like you said, I mean, how many minutes did he play? 25 minutes, 23 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block. And like you said, man, he was going to the rim with no hesitation. He catch the ball, make a move in the paint, go straight up with it. And I think that was Pete that kind of mentioned on the broadcast. You think a guy that's been out that long, maybe he would have a little bit of a timing issue on some of those shots, and not at all. I mean, he's efficient. Like you said, 10 of 14 from the field. I mean, he's aggressive. I mean, he just looks like Jaren. And you can tell, I think he's stronger. He talked about that was one of the focuses during his rehab, that he wanted to get a little bit bigger and stronger. And you can see that here, and how he just goes at some of these guys. Sometimes before he wasn't as aggressive in the paint, maybe he'd kind of fade away, kind of finesse a little bit on some of those moves. He's going straight at guys now. And if he can add that along with and bring his three-point shooting back, I mean, he's going to be a monster because he looks really good in the paint right now.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have the three going tonight, and he was still a monster. You know, he gets that three-point shot going, man. It's going to be over for the league. He's going to be destroying folks. I want to go, like before we like jump into the box score, hold on, I want to talk about a play close to the end of the game. Xavier Tillman got switched on to Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they went full ISO at that point, and they, you know, they were out around the right around the wing, and Tillman stayed right with him, contested the shot. Unbelievable defense against one of the best guards in the league, man. You know, he didn't block the shot. Lillard did miss. Great contest. His footwork is impeccable, man. I thought for sure, I'm like, you know, we have hyped up, Isaac and I both have hyped up Tillman throughout this whole year. But I doubted him right there, and I'm glad that he proved me wrong, because that was a great sequence by him.
Yeah, man, I'm sounding like a broken record in saying this, but man, like you said, for a rookie, for just not even a rookie, his footwork and defensive principles are just far advanced, man. For a first year guy, like you said, to go out on one of the best guards in the league and play that type of defense is just amazing. And I heard some people, lots of people actually saying today that when JV comes back, that Tillman needs to, and Winslow are the two guys that they need to be out of the rotation. And I'm like, there's no way that you how could you take this guy out of the rotation? I understand the position, blah blah blah. I don't know how you make it happen, but Tillman needs to be on the floor. I mean, I think he's proven this, and I thought he proved it early in the season. That's why I was so surprised that they just completely set him down, especially when you say it's a developmental season. And you look at how well this guy's played. You got him in the second round and early in the season was playing really well, just to kind of stunt his development and take him out of the rotation. It just never made any sense to me. Like, I pounded the table that during the time when he was out of rotation that this guy needs to be playing. And he's proven me right. And we both kind of touted him throughout. And, I mean, he's just been fantastic. But you go back to the Denver game, even though Jokic scored 46 points. I think he did a tremendous job in that game. 18 points, 14 rebounds. Game tonight, 12, 6 assists, a steal, a block, 6 of 8 from the field. I mean, just super efficient. I mean, he's been knocking down corner three pointers. I mean, he's doing it all out there tonight. I mean, there was one point where he went on this offensive run, I think early in the game tonight. I mean, he's just fantastic, man. I don't even know what words to say about him anymore, man. He's a really, really good player. And that's just it. And
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to get hate for this, and I can live with it.
I know where you're going.
If it comes down to it right now, the way that they're playing, you bench Brandon Clark.
Yes, and someone on Twitter, I can't remember, I think it's Grizzlies fans, I think it's a Twitter page, and he was like, and I said, well, you can't take him out of rotation. He was like, well, when everybody's healthy, where does he fit? And I was like, well, I think it might be time to have a tough conversation here. And I didn't say a name, but it was Brandon Clark is who I was referring to. I think he's just been better than him. I mean, Brandon has had his moments. I think we talked about this before. He was more efficient and a better player last year, and he's really been struggling as of late, and Tillman's just been better than him. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. Like you said, I know some people are not going to like that, but it is what it is, man. I think Tillman right now is the better player. I mean, he's just doing it on both ends, and Brandon, the little floater that he has been knocking that down. He has been efficient from three. He's been missing those. I just think Tillman is bringing more to the team right now.
I completely agree with you, man. And it's tough. You know, Brandon's sophomore slump, you hear about it. You know what it is. I'm not, this is not me saying, oh, the Grizzlies should get rid of Brandon Clark, because I don't think that at all. But if you were playing to win games, you play the guys that are playing better right now. And between those two guys, they bring almost the same thing through the floor. I will say this, there's not a guy in the NBA that Brandon Clark can guard that Xavier Tillman cannot guard. And to me, right now, the way that they're playing, everything else is equal. The only nod that I would give to Brandon Clark is athleticism and the ability to catch lobs. That's it. Everything else offensively is pretty close. Tillman is, I'm going to have to get those numbers together. I don't have them in front of me right now, but lately I guarantee you their 3-point percentage is very similar, very, very similar. And there's guys on the defensive end that Tillman can guard that Brandon Clark is not strong enough to guard.
Yeah. Someone said that just like what you just said, where he's the only guy that we have that's a rim runner that can catch lobs. I'm like, it doesn't matter how you score twos. If you can, if you're hitting shots, you're making shots. It still counts as 2 points. And if you gave me, I had to make a bet. You said I had a corner three, wide open corner three for Brandon Clark and a wide open corner three for Xavier Tillman right now. I'm taking Tillman.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we will probably be hated in Grizz Nation because of this conversation. But please don't take this as we dislike Brandon Clark.
No, not at all.
That's not what it is. This is just flat out in a vacuum. You're playing to win ball games. Which one of these guys is playing better right now? The answer to that question is Tillman. And if you think otherwise, I think you're missing something. I really think that you're missing something. Love what Brandon Clark done for the Grizzlies last year. Still love him as a player. I think that he's going to be a good NBA player for a long time. And I hope that's with the Grizzlies. But right now, he's just not himself. I don't think he has been himself all season. There's been times when you see flashes of it, but it just, you know, there was streaks last year where he hit and he basically just wasn't missing. You know, there were a couple games where he shot 7, 8, 9 nine field goal attempts and just didn't miss.
Yeah.
And he's not had a stretch like that this year. Is it because Jaren hasn't been playing? Is it because the injury is not fully healed? I don't know. Don't know the answer to that. But I'm telling you, for me, hands down right now, if we need to win, Tillman's the guy.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I just think that he's a little bit bigger. He can guard guys that Brandon struggles to guard. And like you said, outside of that, they bring kind of the same things. They're guys that are going to take 2 or 3, possibly 3s a game and maybe knock down 1 or 2. And Tillman's been knocking those down. I just think right now he brings more to the table. Athleticism is the only thing really that Brandon has over him. And I mean, and that's, again, that's not knocking Brandon Clark. Like, I've been a big fan of his. I just think right now Tillman has been a better player. Now, maybe in the future that might not be the case. Maybe Brandon will get back to the efficiency that we've seen from him in the past, but he's not even doing the things that he used to do well. Like, that floater has been off for several games now. He's not even knocking that down anymore. And that was kind of his go-to bread and butter move, and he's not even making that right now. So, I mean, I think that's a question that's going to have to be answered sooner than later. They're probably – we'll go back to Brandon Clark, but again, I wouldn't agree with that decision, especially not right now. But looking at this box score, one thing that kind of stands out, 19 assists last game against the Clippers. And we always talk about that magic number of 30, 33 tonight. They got back to sharing the basketball the way they have, and this team is more efficient. That's how they win, when you got multiple guys being involved, multiple guys scoring, and we definitely saw that tonight. You just look down the starters, 33 for Morant, 25 for DB, 14 for Kyle Anderson, 12 for X. The only player that struggled in the starting lineup was Grayson Allen, who has struggled for a few games now. 2 points tonight. He couldn't really get going. Desmond Bane didn't score tonight either. So kind of weird, but I guess you kind of see John Morant with 33 and you got Jaren Jackson Jr. more integrated with 23 points, kind of make up for some of that scoring that they missed out on from those two guys.
Yeah, you know, Bane only took 2 shots tonight, and I think that's kind of – he's not going to get a whole lot of looks. With everybody being healthy, he's not a guy that's going to – he wasn't really aggressive enough taking shots, in my opinion anyway. For as good of a shooter that he is, he wasn't aggressive enough. And so now, with more guys on the floor, with Jaren coming back and being a high-volume guy, you know, he's just one you're not going to see take many shots. Melton was 3 for 7 tonight, 10 points. In the Clippers game, Melton had 5 points and no other stats. And that's just not him. Not him at all. You know, Mr. Do Something, always out there doing something. Tonight, no rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks. And that's more of the line that you want to see. Obviously, yeah. You'd like for him to be a little more efficient. But, you know, that's kind of what you want to see from Melton, is him racking up those defensive stats. Because that means that he was in there being pesky and breaking up plays and doing all the things that you want to see from him. My only issue is, you know, that Grayson played almost 23 minutes tonight, shooting 1 for 6 from the field. He was struggling.
Yeah, 0-5 from 3. Not a good night for him. And I think his struggles are kind of coming with the shift with Jaren coming back in. You have more guys playing, more guys scoring. I think he's kind of struggling to kind of find his roll with in this game, because I mean he's not getting as many looks as he used to get, but most of his shots have come like in a shot clock. He had that opportunity to hit that big three late in the game and he missed that one, but he's just not getting the looks that he was getting before, because again, you have Jaren in there and you have other guys scoring, so I think he's kind of struggling with that. And so it'd be interesting to see what happens with that position. Does Jenkins finally moved Melton in the starting lineup, because I think it's clear, especially now with Grayson struggling. Like, I love what he's been doing, but I guess honestly, it doesn't really matter. I mean, long as
Melton's got to start. I think Melton's got to close the game. Majority of minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it doesn't really matter, I guess, who starts. I guess as long as Melton plays the majority of the minutes, because defensively, he just brings something that Grayson does bring. And if Grayson's not hitting shots, that's the thing about him. Melton, if he's not hitting shots, he can do some other things for you. If Grayson's not knocking down shots, that's pretty much, he's pretty much not going to help you.
Yeah. And that's, I was pleasantly surprised to see that Jenkins made that change at the end of the game, going to Melton to close, because Grayson was struggling. Had Grayson not been struggling, I think that we have Grayson Allen on the floor over Melton. But Grayson was struggling tonight. And so we're continuing to see Taylor Jenkins evolve as a coach, and things that we felt like he was robotic and methodical about, he's actually making some changes. And I that's great for me, because Budenholzer, you know, the camp that he came from there in Milwaukee, one of his Achilles heels is adjustments. He's just not great at that. But it seems like Taylor Jenkins, although I've doubted it at times, he's starting to make those changes now.
Yeah, I tweeted that out after the game. I think he coached a tremendous game down the stretch tonight. Like you said, he made that change. The fact that he fouled, being up three, which is something that huge. you don't always see. That's huge, because you see a lot of guys, they don't foul in that situation. And I think he did a tremendous job. At times, even he brought in another big for rebounding in that situation on the free throw line. I mean, he made a lot of smart moves tonight. I think he did a tremendous job.
Yeah, you know, you had Jaren and Tillman both in down there, and then Dylan got in because they were, you know, they wanted to put that box out on Nurkic.
Yeah.
And it worked out great. Jaren came down with a rebound, knocked down the free throws to seal the game. And I'm sure that my neighbors heard me scream whenever Kyle fouled him, man. I was so happy that he fouled him. I feel like I'm going crazy fanboy mode here with that, but I've watched so many games on Game Pass, our League Pass, where teams don't foul. They're up three, and they just let them take the shot.
Yeah.
And it's why? That, to me, I think that if you break that down, if you have somebody go back and you watch games, I think the team that fouls up three in the final seconds wins that game more than the team that lets the other guy shoot the three.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I'd love to go back, and I wish I could find like a NBA stat on that over the last several years. But I agree. I think if you foul it, it's definitely much more likely that you end up winning that game. Because I mean, if you give a guy a shot, especially when you're going against a team like Portland, I mean, they have snipers out there. I mean, you got Dame, who, like you said, is one of the most clutch players in NBA history. You got CJ McCollum, who can knock down Carmelo Anthony, who was on fire tonight from outside. I mean, they have so many guys that can knock down threes. I mean, as soon as they get the ball in, especially with Portland of any team, you definitely want to foul. And again, man, it was a smart move by him, and I was glad to see it. I had a big gasp because I thought for a second they were going to give him three free throws, but he was right on the call that the foul came before the shot. So, I mean, big time move, and it ended up winning the game for him. And again, man, this is such a big win for this team, because I mean, you were 2.5 games back going in. If you lose this game, I mean, you put you 3.5 back. That's got to put you behind the 8-ball. But again, I think you win this first one, I think eases things up for Sunday and allows you to kind of go into that game with house money. And man, you might be able to come out of this thing with two. It's not going to be easy. Portland's going to definitely be ready. You know, Dame's going to be ready. But again, I think I would much rather be in a position to win the first one than to have to go into that second one feeling like this is a must-win game.
Yeah, yeah. The pressure, not that it's completely off. Getting both of them in Portland would be huge. I hope they do. That's going to go a long way for them trying to push for the sixth seed. Maybe they'll get there. If they win both of these games in Portland, it definitely opens up the door and gives them a much better shot of getting to that sixth seed. You look at the differences tonight. The points in the paint, the Grizzlies outscored the Blazers 74-58. Second chance points, it didn't really feel like it was this close. The Blazers only outscored the Grizzlies 19-11, but it felt like Cantor and Nurkic both were grabbing. Yeah, it felt like they had 10 offensive rebounds apiece the way that it was going tonight. Fast break points, big deficit there that for the Blazers. The Grizzlies outscored them 29-7. On fast break points, just played extremely well. They played at the level that we know the Grizzlies can play. If they play that Clippers game with half of the effort put into this game, they destroyed that team, destroy them. But they didn't. You can't fix it, man. Hindsight's always 20/20. We just pack it up and we get ready for the next one, which is in Portland. They don't travel. They stay in Portland. They rest. And then we go live again Sunday. And you said Sunday's a day game, right?
Yeah, 3 p.m. Yeah, so it'll be over at about 5:15, 5:30. So, man, we got to have an early podcast on Sunday.
And dude, I'll take that over this 1 o'clock in the morning podcast. All day long.
after that game, I think we're pretty much done with the late tips. That he got an 8 o'clock tip at Denver on Monday. The last game of the season at Golden State will probably be the only one left that's going to be a 9:30 tip. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. But something else that stood out to me is the Grizzlies out rebounding this game 50-39, 14-8 on the offensive boards. You're not going to win many games when you get out rebounded by 11 and by 6 offensive rebounding. But they were able to pull it out. That's a stat that you don't usually see. If a team out rebounds you by double digits, that team usually wins the game. But they were able to do it tonight. And I think, looking at another thing, 9 of 30 from the 3-point line for 30%. So the Portland Trailblazers are plus 15 points from the 3-point line, and plus 5 in makes, plus 5 in attempts from the free throw line. So, I mean, you see some of these things, and Portland has some advantages here, but the Grizzlies just were able to keep scoring. You see this team sometimes have these lulls in scoring, and they weren't able to do this tonight. I mean, they just kept going at them back and forth. And there was one point, I think, late in the third quarter where, I mean, just back and forth. Portland would score, Grizzlies would score. Portland would score. I mean, they just went back and forth, and it's fun to see that. And Ja we've seen this. We saw it in the Denver game. They ended up losing that. But, I mean, he's really taking control of this offense. I mean, getting 33 points tonight, and just the speed, man, they just couldn't stop him. He's gotten this lately. Not that he didn't do this before, but lately he's been doing this thing where he just takes off, just gets the ball, just takes off. And I think it allows it. And Jaren's going to open up some things anyway, but I think he's made an adjustment for when teams have shut these lanes down. He just says, well, I'm just going to beat them down the floor, and I'm not going to worry about the lane being clogged up. I'm just going straight to the basket. I'm not going to wait to let the defense set up and get on me. And I think that's something that he's kind of figured out, and I think we've kind of seen an adjustment over the last several games.
Yeah, you know, he stepped it up tonight. He knew what Dame was going to do. He knew, you know, Dame and CJ and Melo, the game in the bubble, this is kind of a revenge game for him, if you will. And so he came up tonight huge. Dylan Brooks was, you know, he was big tonight. Very efficient night, 11 for 19, 58% from the field for him, 3 for 6 from three. Just great overall game. There's one more thing that I want to talk about before we get out of here, man. I want to talk about this Justice and Tyus thing. We kind of touched on Justice earlier.
Yeah.
And here we are again with Justice Winslow getting the minutes and Tyus not. This is what I want to say. There was a lot of hate over Grizz Nation Twitter tonight about Justice.
There was.
And this is what I'm going to say to you all. I'm going to say this to everybody that's hating right now. Go back and look at Tyus's stats for this season. And when you're dumping all of this hate on Justice, do not sit there and pretend that Tyus did not have a 3-game stretch where he did not make a single freaking field goal. He was 0-7, 0-5, 0-4. Over a 3-game period, a combined 0-16. So I don't have a problem with you disliking Justice Winslow. That's fine. But don't put Tyus on a pedestal and act like he's been dominant this year. And there's no way that this should be a competition, because that is not the truth. I love Tyus Jones. He's a great floor general. He doesn't turn the ball over. Justice does things that he can't do. Tyus probably takes care of the ball a little bit better than Justice does, but I don't want to hear this. Oh, well, Tyus wouldn't do, or that was just a 3-game stretch. We can go down further and we can look again, because he had another bad stretch here where he 2-for-6, 0-for-2, 1-for-3, 1-for-4. And all I'm saying is Tyus is inconsistent as well. The difference between the two is Tyus hasn't missed 2 years of basketball.
Yeah.
So if you don't like Justice Winslow, that's fine. Whenever he turns out to be the right fit for the Grizzlies, I'm going to be the one serving you the crow. I'm saving it. I got receipts. They're screenshotted on my phone. I'm coming back for you.
There's definitely plenty of receipts to be had. I mean, it's a lot of Justice Winslow hate. Like I said, I still fully believe in the guy. I just, my thing is just, I think right now, I just think he needs time to get right. And again, I think I just feel better with Tyus being the guy, because Tyus is a traditional point guard. He's been the leader of that second unit and he's been running, but he, like you said, I mean, he's had several stretches this year where he's just flat out been bad. It's not like he's been this fantastic player all year. He's had stretches where he's been really good. He's had stretches where he's been really bad, but he doesn't turn the ball over. And that's just kind of in these late game situations when they're close, since this is a kind of a new thing with Justice, I just kind of feel a little bit more comfortable if Tyus was in there. But I mean, Justice, he knocked that big corner three he knocked down tonight, was in a big spot where they really needed it. I saw some people really hating him, and then he hit that three, and I wanted to see what people were going to say. Nobody really said anything about it. But
yeah, crickets, nothing.
Yeah.
there was another play. He had an offensive rebound. He missed the putback, which was unfortunate. But Tyus Jones is not getting that offensive rebound. Tyus Jones don't have the length to get that offensive rebound.
And I mean, he's just going to cause problems just for the bigger the size difference. I mean, Tyus is a smaller guy.
Justice, I think that this is to a lesser effect, but I think a great comparison here would be like where we're comparing Grayson and D'Anthony Melton. Tyus and Justice kind of fall in the same bucket for me, and that maybe Tyus is a little better offensively, but on the defensive end, I think what Justice brings to the floor makes up for it.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a conversation to be had there. I'm not all just on like, man, this is terrible. I can't believe they're doing this. I don't understand it. I mean, like I said, I would probably lean toward Tyus right now, but again, I'm still fully on the Justice Winslow train. I think they, like we talked about on the first podcast earlier tonight, I think they need to pick up the option no matter what happens to try to see what they have. And I think also for an expiring contract, I think it's important because I think this team is going to make some type of deal next year. And I think it's going to be a significant deal by the deadline, and you're going to need those contracts. So you've invested a lot in him, and he's also going to be expiring if you pick it up. I think you just have to pick up the deal. You can't let him walk. I think you've invested too much in it, and it makes sense to keep that expiring deal on the books. So, I mean, again, I don't know if shutting them down is the right thing. I know we kind of talked about that. I just, again, I mean, I feel in these close games with 14 games left to play now, I just feel like Tyus has been in that spot longer. He's a traditional point guard, probably not as much of a risk to turn the basketball over. I would feel more comfortable with him playing, but I understand that the front office wants to see what their investment is to give him an opportunity. So I'm not necessarily mad at it, but I would probably tend to lean the other way toward Tyus, but it's close.
Yeah. We'll see. And if I'm wrong, you can call me out on it. I don't care. I have been wrong plenty of times before. And that's fine. I can live with it. Whenever
We all have.
When you're a sports fan and you're watching and you're predicting stuff, you're going to be wrong. You know, if you're good at predicting stuff, you may be slightly over that 50% right. But, you know, you're going to be probably at best a 60-40.
Oh, so man,
you're going to be wrong a lot.
I was going to say, man, I was big wrong on Jaren Jackson. That is one thing that I missed you with that. On draft night, man, I was heated when they took Jaren Jackson. I couldn't believe it, man. I, like, went fanboy, just went nuts when they made that pick. I was like, I can't believe we suffered through this tough season, and this is what we're going to end up getting. Like, I wanted, like, Marvin Bagley, and look how that turned out. So I was completely wrong on that, and glad to eat crow on that one. But I just had watched him in college and looked at his stats. He only averaged like the 9 or 10 points a game. I mean, and that's crazy to think about that. Izzo couldn't. It's the way he plays, the way he shoots the basketball. Like, that guy only averaged like 11 points a game and only played like 18 minutes a game or something in college. It's like unbelievable to think back that Izzo had this guy on his team and didn't play him.
Yeah. Yep, that's nuts to me. I'm glad the Grizzlies picked him. didn't.
Man, shout out to Chris Wallace, man. One of the positive things he did. He wasn't the great drafter, but he hit that one.
Yeah, one for the road right there for him. We'll take it all day long.
Yeah, one on the way out, man.
All right, guys, we're going to get out here. We'll be back with another post game Sunday afternoon after the second Portland matchup. Hopefully we are talking about another win. Grizzlies could definitely use it. If they have any shot at catching Portland, they need to win one of these next two games against them. Let's just go ahead and get it out of the way on Sunday. So when we get home, if we win, it's great. If we lose, it's not a huge loss.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's kind of situation they're in. I'm glad they got this first one. So, again, you can go into the Sunday with a little bit less pressure and a chance to walk out of there with two. And then you got a game left on Monday. See what happens there. You kind of want to get a little bit of revenge on Denver. You lost two close ones, you feel like, to Denver. So you'd love to get that one, even though it's going to be tough on the back-to-back at altitude. But, I mean, we've seen crazier things that happen. So I'm definitely not going to say they can't win that game. And I said earlier today that I had a feeling that they will win that game. So it's going to be fun, man, down the stretch. But again, another game against this Portland team. They always play great games. We saw one tonight. Hopefully we get one just as good on Sunday.
Yeah. Yep. I think that they will be ready for it. I feel like they're going to be up for that game. This just, you know, I think you mentioned it in the episode before this one. This is kind of a budding rivalry between these two teams, and they always seem to be great games. So look forward to another one on Sunday. We appreciate you guys listening. You can get the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWill2111. Isaac, where can they get you? And get us out of here, man.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. Again, make sure you always check out our podcast. Go over to at HoopBallGrizz, man. Give us a follow. We'd love to have you aboard. And, man, a big, big win tonight. Hopefully on Sunday we can get another one. And man, opportunity for them to move up to six and completely get out of the play-in, which would be just an amazing job. And again, I've said this before, but if that happens, I think Coach Taylor Jenkins has to be in that conversation for Coach of the Year, man. But we'll talk to you on Sunday. For David, I've been Isaac. Go Grizz.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.